I'm going to call up our Darshan, Jennifer Darshanip, Jennifer Callancher.
Shabbat Shalom to everybody, and I'm really glad that you're all here. So this Torah portion had all these different things going on in it, and it starts with the commandment to bring oil for the menorah. So everybody's supposed to bring olive oil to light the menorah. It's going to be lit from evening to morning. It's great. And then Aaron and his sons are brought forward as the priests. There is an acknowledgement that there are special people who are artisans, and they're going to make all these clothes for the priests. And then there's 36 lines of a how-to on what they're going to wear and what they're going to look like. There's a little bit about the how the priests are going to be ordained and the sacrifice that's going to take place. And finally, there's a description about the incense and how it's going to be burned. So there's all these things that are happening in this portion. So the destruction of the temple and the exile of the people has forced commentators to look at this portion a little bit differently, because we don't have the menorah that's burnt. We're not bringing the olive oil. We don't have the priests. So I started reading the commentary, and someone like Nahama Leibowitz was talking a lot about the oil and the light, and taking the light of the Torah and how it becomes a light of ours, and how it can be a light to us, and how we can be the light, and how the light continues to grow. And I thought, wow, this is really exciting and fun, but it's two lines of this Torah portion, and I thought, there's got to be something else in here. So I started looking at the attire piece of it, and I got really stuck on why are there so many details about all these layers of clothing and what they're going to be wearing. So I'm going to call up someone who does have a special gift, Rabbi Kosak, to help me kind of walk through this portion and these clothes and help me understand the context of why these clothes and why all these details are here.
Cool.
So
thank you.
We're going to have a little bit of a discussion, and if anybody wants to say anything, you can tell me afterwards, because this is tough enough. So,
you're doing great.
So I guess I'm wondering, why would the text be dedicated so much to the discussion of the details of the clothing? And I'm wondering if you can help me put it into context of what happened in the Torah portion last week, and maybe what's coming up this week, so that we can put it into some perspective.
Yeah, so you're not the only one to wonder that, of course. Our tradition from the earliest time is really sensitive. The Torah normally is known as what's all foreground. It just tells you what's happening. It moves the story forward. It provides the laws, but it doesn't give you all the background details. And this is, we're in a section last week as well with the building of the Mishkan, and now we're in the building of the clothes for the Mishkan, the instructions that the priests wear. It's way more detail than many of us can connect with, but than the Torah is used to doing. So it is, I think, first of all, whenever the Torah changes its style and starts giving us a bunch of details, it's saying, among other things, pay attention, this is really important. And also, this was really important to our ancestors. And I think clothing, you know, you talked about struggling with clothing. Clothing remains, like, deeply important, and it was clearly very important to our ancestors. So there's a couple of things. One, there's a way in which I was just reading an article in The Atlantic last night before bed about disgust, the emotion of disgust, and how it sort of connects with purity and impurity. And they were going more into, you can tell people's politics by how easily things disgust you. And I was really thinking about how clothes and clean clothes really are conveying something, and they're made to make sure, right? Very often with leaders, you point at that one and say, oh no, right? So I think there's a way that the clothes even were designed to let everyone know this person is sanctioned by everyone to do this work before God for all of us. So that's one possibility.
So one of the reasons why I was a little dismayed when I looked at this is I thought, clothing tends to be the purview of women today. And it even brought me back to home ec when I was trying to make a shift and didn't quite understand how to make it fit on my body and how to make that work. And then I also thought about the Eshet Chayil, which talks about the role of women and a woman of valor. And in some measure, she's creating clothing. So I thought, this isn't right. This isn't fair that it's a sisterhood Shabbat. And here I am talking about clothing and making clothing, and it just doesn't seem quite right. So I want to get away from the making piece of it and try to get us into that idea of the light. You know, and the light is the Torah, and the Torah is this. And then how can I get clothes and the making of clothes into kind more of a relationship, that relationship that we have maybe with the Torah or that we have with each other or bringing our best self forward. So can we talk a little bit about how clothing fits?
I think clothing is all about relationship. And we had some friends over for dinner last night, and I figured, let me get some more insight from 8 and 10 and 12 and 14-year-old boys about, what does clothing mean to you? I want to get their sense. And I agree with you. I think that there's a lot of the relationship between women and society and image and clothing and each other and men and the whole thing. There's a lot of stuff. But clothes definitely way in the male world, maybe in a different way. And I certainly remember growing up on the East Coast, right? We had our synagogue uniform, right? And we wore gray trousers and a blue blazer and a white shirt and a tie, and God help you as a boy if that was not how you were dressed, right? And as we've moved west, right, the standards keep loosening up. But I did wear a pink shirt today because I figured, as a kid, on a serious note, when I was a kid, boys weren't supposed to wear pink. That was a girl's color, and you didn't want to be made fun of, right? So it didn't matter whether you liked pink or not. It was about relationship, and it's about this is your role as a boy, and it's different from what the relationships as a girl is. So clothes are very powerful. I think they're very powerful, how they communicate to us.
So I know in the last portion there was a discussion about the commandment to build the Mishkan, and God was going to live amid, I think that's the correct word, he's going to live amid the people, and now we have the priests,
yes.
And now there's a middleman, and they're creating quite the visual spectacle. And they've got bells and pomegranates on their clothes, so they're making this audible. They're coming in, and you know when the priests are there.
Yes.
So now, here we are, and you're not wearing bells, and you're not wearing the headdress, you know, and so...
But you know, this is, since we're doing Sephardic Shabbat also, there were lots of some of the Sephardic cantors would wear a mitre. Right, they would wear a head garb that was much more evocative of this. But it's true, we do not. And I think it's interesting, right? I mean, one of the things you talked about, the challenge for us, because we are living in a post-temple time, and I suspect most of us don't want to see a third temple be rebuilt, at least under the current politics. So there's a tradition that the third one will be built by God, and maybe God knows a way to create peace where we humans do not. But we know that there's a tremendous democratization of Judaism after that, and that particularly like in our community, everyone's invited to wear a tallit of, who's a bar bat mitzvah age, and the garments have been, of holiness, have been sort of offered for us, right? And that is a change. We don't have an intermediary since the destruction of the temple. And so that's a change in relationship.
So I was thinking, okay, how can I bring this to a relationship and my own personal relationship and sort of do it with this light and get me to shine and the clothes to do? And I started thinking about the times in my life when I've changed my uniform, changed who I was. So growing up in the 60s, I was a free spirit, a little bit of a hippie, and it's still part of who I am. So it's still a layer, even though I don't necessarily dress in that attire anymore. And, you know, they had this breastplate that reminded them of all of the tribes. And I have my breastplate of my family. I'm a person in my family structure. So I have my family breastplate that I wear. And all the community came together to build the clothes, to design the clothes. So maybe there's that element of we're all in this relationship together, and you help define me, and I help define you. But I want it to be also the inner me, past all those garments,
right,
and bringing forth that who I am behind all those layers.
So there's I was reading this, one of my favorite commentators, Netivot Shalom, the Slonimer Rebbe, and he, drawing forth from some of the Midrash, talks about how each of these eight garments that the priest would wear were about those inner dimensions. They were meant to sort of fix areas in them. So they go a different direction maybe than we would, or maybe not, but so the pants, for example, were to make sure that you weren't committing sexual sort of infidelities. I love this one, the mitznefet, sort of the hat, which would like clench on you, was to make sure you weren't being coarse in nature, gasei ruach, so that you would have this on your head, just as similar to kippah, I guess, for us to remember there's another dimension, but to try to keep us from being a bore by personality, right? And the breastplate that you were talking about was for to prevent sort of the other head against stubbornness. So there were ways that they viewed, or at least in the Hasidic tradition, they wanted to do that same task you do. How do we, a lot of us, right, how conscious are we about what we wear and why we wear it? And they wanted to make sure that this was about being conscious of who you were on the inside, but also all of the things they describe are about how we relate to one another.
Great. I think I have some clarity, and I think I can take this forward. And I we need to be careful about creating barriers or deceptions of our inner self by what we wear on the outside. But I also think it's really important that we all consider how we are approaching each other and how we acknowledge that whole adage, clothes don't make the man. It's all inside, and what are we doing to remind ourselves to live in a, I don't want to say pure way, but in an upright way, and remembering the words.
That's beautiful.
Thank you very much, Rabbi.
You're
welcome. Really appreciate it.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom to everybody. It's been a real pleasure.